This past weekend was a huge one in the world of combat sports. Not only did Calzaghe and Kessler fight to one of the great fights of this past year, also had the IFL Grand Prix, but not to be forgotten was Glory by Honor 6, presented by the Ring of Honor Wrestling Promotion, one of the best wrestling promotions out there today. And I would go out on a limb to say the one that is producing the best product right now in the world of professional wrestling. And I'm so honored to introduce right now Carrie Silken, the owner of Ring of Honor, to Jerry Park. First off, Carrie, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Ariel. Thank you for having me on, and we're happy to be part of your broadcast.
First off, Carrie, a lot of fans are just starting to find out about Ring of Honor. There are a lot of wrestling fans out there that are disillusioned right now with the product WWE and TNA are presenting. And are first finding out about you guys due to your foray into the pay-per-view world. Can you talk a little bit about how you got involved with the Ring of Honor promotion and its sort of rise to its prominence of the present day?
All right. I've been a lifelong wrestling fan. It's a long story, but I'll try to make it as brief as possible. I'm a lifelong wrestling fan. I've been involved in another business. I own a ticket agency, and I got involved in the business end of pro wrestling, strangely enough, through our publicist, Mike G, who I've known for many years. He's been a longtime writer, not just a wrestling writer, but also in the world of rock and roll. Anyway, in the late 90s, he was working for Sterling McFadden, which was a major magazine publisher at the time in New York City. And he was the editor of Wrestling World, along with some rock and roll magazines. And I just had this idea. I used to go to Puerto Rico a lot, and I just had this idea that a wrestling magazine in Puerto Rico might work. And through Mike's contacts, through a little ingenuity and a lot of question asking, we wound up publishing a magazine in Puerto Rico. So that really got me involved in the wrestling world behind the scenes. At the same time, I knew the original owner of Ring of Honor from the days of ECW, and I got involved on a financial end when the company was about, I don't know, a year old, and circumstances that transpired, I wound up, as 100% owner of the company, and that took place around, June of 2004. So that's how I got involved. I really never was intending to be a 100% full-time owner, but it worked out rather well. Here we are today. You know, sometimes I gotta like pinch myself. We have a weekend like this with Misawa coming to the States for only the second time ever, the first time in 15 years, along with the other three NOAH wrestlers that we've been using often, Marufuchi, Kenta, and Morishima, who held our belt for 8 months, along with the rest of our crew, which are just phenomenal guys and great workers, and it's been quite a ride. So I don't know if that's a complete answer, but that's an answer.
For many years, ROH fans used to hear that the promotion was, for lack of a better word, content with, you know, the DVD sales, the website, and those ventures. But now it seems as though the company is really growing by leaps and bounds. You've entered the pay-per-view world just this past summer, and every few months you're coming out with more and more pay-per-view shows. What is the overall goal, let's say, by the end of 2008? Are you guys looking to have a monthly pay-per-view show, maybe a live pay-per-view show? Kind of curious as to where you guys stand on that front.
Well, everything, if you look at this on a business level historically, everything's been done in, to the best of our ability, slow, calculated steps, no big leaps, no crazy moves. We have been a DVD company that's sustained the business end of things. You know, if you couldn't be at a live Ring of Honor show, it was available for you a few weeks later on DVD, and that still is our formula. But we knew we had to, as time went on, I wanted to make a move and get some exposure. the pay-per-view world has been our first step. And as, you know, as this year, you know, as we approach this year, we have a deal where we'll be, we're going to be in the stores. I don't want to get into the details of it, but by February, we should be available in the Suncoast Video, Walmarts of the world, so on and so forth, with some of our releases. And, you know, we've been just talking to some other people regarding the possibility of cable TV, you know, nationally, and continuing on the pay-per-view efforts that we've done. We just aired our second pay-per-view, Driven, and Man Up, our third pay-per-view, will be debuting in November around Thanksgiving time. I don't have the specific date, but that's our third one. And the pay-per-views will continue into 2008, and as well as the national distribution for the stores. So that's a new, that's another new phenomenon for us, and as well as doing a lot of negotiating and talking with people who are involved with cable TV. And we just need to get the right deal, you know, the right deal. And pretty much that's where we're at right now as far as, and continuing to do our live shows and our DVDs.
With a couple of pay-per-view shows under your belt, do you have any sort of sense as to how many buys each show generated?
It's, I'll explain why, and I'm not trying to be vague, but I'll explain why it's, you know, it's a lot. You might know this, maybe not, I didn't. But we're currently dealing with three providers, Dish Network, TVN, which distributes to many cable systems, and In Demand, which distributes to a lot of cable systems. The Dish Network people, it's, you can get a count relatively easy because if you subscribe to Dish Network, that's it. It's like A to B. The other two that I mentioned, they have to get numbers in from hundreds of cable providers. So it takes time. We still haven't gotten the complete numbers for our first round. We were told if we got between like 10 and 20,000 buys, that would have been a success. And we're definitely on target for that. You know, enough numbers have come in that we're going to be in that zone. So, you know, it's not, we knew we weren't going to set the world on fire. So we're satisfied that we're in that, you know, projected figures. And hopefully the second one, which has aired and it's over, Driven, which was awesome, will have, you know, a little bit more, and Man Up, you know, so on and so forth. And we're just looking to slowly build the numbers and get the exposure and have people, you know, that have never seen Ring of Honor, have never bought a DVD, aren't in an area where we do live shows, be able to see us. You know, it's only $9 or $9.95, I think. Some of them, they're $14. But it's not a lot of money. So people could see, the, you know, the best wrestling in the world, and then hopefully go to our website and buy 200 DVDs at once.
Is the end goal eventually to end up on cable TV? Is that what you guys are striving for?
Yeah, that would be nice, no doubt about it. You know, but once again, it's got to be the right, you know, the right situation, and we're just taking our time. I mean, I know the product's good. I know anyone who likes wrestling at all, even a little tiny bit, sees, who doesn't, has never seen Ring of Honor, is going to love the product, and you know, we're just being patient and seeing what, you know, seeing what transpires over the next few months.
I guess when someone first looks at an ROH pay-per-view on television, your first instinct are two things. A, this resembles a lot the old ECW, the promotion that seemed to have had one of the most loyal fan bases in the history of professional wrestling, but on a much smaller scale than WWE, WCW. How are you guys trying to channel what ECW had laid, you know, that foundation for over 10 years in the 90s and early part of the 21st century into what you're presenting as ROH today? And also, what are you looking to do differently? Obviously, you don't want to be ECW version 2. How are you trying to kind of carve out your own niche within this industry?
Well, I mean, I was a big ECW fan. Gabe Sapolsky worked with the company, worked with Paulie. So there's definitely, I mean, there's a huge connection with him. I think, you know, and they did some awesome stuff. I think a lot of our knowledge to be gained from them is what not to do as far as on a business end. And, you know, they didn't, not that they did everything wrong, but I think they tried for a lot of, you know, they went the opposite route of what I was just talking about, and they tried to do a lot of things real, you know, suddenly fast, and eventually they went out. So I don't know really how much of, you know, their exact formula. I don't know really know how to answer your question. We're not really looking to copy ECW. You know, we're our own brand. We're our own style, and there's bits and pieces of it that, you know, certainly have influenced us, both good and bad.
You mentioned Paul Heyman, who was the figurehead behind ECW. He's no longer contracted with the WWE. Were there any talks ever of potentially bringing in Paul to Ring of Honor?
No, I mean, we'd love to have him come in as a special guest, you know, like make an appearance. We're very happy with our current, you know, our current staff, and there never was anything as far as, you know, doing any behind the scenes work. I'd love to have Paul Heyman come in, you know, make an appearance at one of the shows as a character or something, or just, you know, come in because, you know, he's an awesome guy and got a great legacy, but no, there's never been any talks, and you know, he's never shown any interest either.
One of the aspects that I think ROH fans love so much about your promotion is, as you just mentioned, for, you know, every show you might have a different guest showing up, a different wrestling legend. It could be Harley Race this past weekend, Bruno Sammartino, Ricky Steamboat, Mick Foley. It seems as though there's this revolving door for wrestling legends to come and make appearances. One shots, two shots, it doesn't matter. Is that something that you guys try to give the fans on every show that you know, every area that you come to, there's a chance that we might see a wrestling legend, and not so much tie these guys down to your promotion, sign them to an exclusive contract, but just, you know, as kind of lovers of the sport, lovers of the world of wrestling.
I think I think you're hitting the nail on the head right there. That's, you know, a lot of what you're seeing in the ring as far as, you know, the special guests, legends. A lot of it reflects the things that the office personally likes. And we've been fortunate over the years to have some of these incredible names come through, even if it was for a short period of time. You know, you mentioned, we've had Foley, we've had Bruno, we've had Jim Coronet as our commissioner for a number of shows, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. We just had Harley make an appearance this weekend, Harley Race. Dusty Rhodes has been there, Terry Funk, Bill Watts, J.J. Dillon. I'm probably leaving, Paul Bearer, how could I forget him? The Midnight Express, one show. And I'm probably leaving out quite a few names. Even Baron Von Raske was there showing. But you know, we respect the history of the sport, and there's two words that don't go together often, especially with the big company: history and wrestling. And we respect, you know, the legends, and we love having them come there. And we've gotten very good feedback from a lot of the people that have come and seen us, who've basically been totally disenfranchised. You know, a guy like Bruno Sammartino, he doesn't even watch wrestling, literally. And to have him come and enjoy it and say some nice things to us sincerely, and have the fans, you know, respect him and love to see him, Bruno made a great comment when he came to our show in New York last September. When he got in the ring, he said, you know, most of you guys weren't even alive when I had my last match. And he was right. But the reaction he got was, you know, as if they had been watching him all their lives and he was still current. And we really enjoy having the legends, you know. Now, the ceremony this past weekend for Joe Higuchi, I mean, that is an obscure name in the States. He was a legendary referee in Japan. The Noah people wanted to bring him over. We were fine with that. And our fans were very respectful. I mean, the truth be known, I'm sure only one out of, you know, we have very knowledgeable fans, but I'm sure 25% of them at best knew who he was or heard of him. So, but they were, you know, they were all about learning about him and honoring him. And it's really nice to see that. And I'm glad we're able to present that.
I'm curious to know, as you look at the other two major promotions in the North American wrestling landscape, TNA and WWE, and here you are, the owner of Ring of Honor, in the wrestling community known as the promotion that continues to churn out the best events every time out there, the best matches, the best pure wrestling, none of this sports entertainment stuff. What are you thinking when you watch the stuff that WWE and TNA puts on the air? It's got to frustrate you.
Well, I mean, I don't want to run down the other companies. You know, they, WWE, my feeling is their main goal, it's my opinion, they have some good matches, you know, and they do some silly stuff, but, you know, their main goal is to create movie stars, to create huge stars that sell tons of merchandise. I mean, they're an extremely successful company financially. It's hard to argue with that. And they're able, whether you like their wrestling or you like the current state of their wrestling or not, I think it's safe to say over the years they've been very successful in creating some stars, creating huge stars that make huge money for themselves and the company and go beyond that. You know, I mean, look at The Rock, look at Stone Cold, so on and so forth. And that's what their goal is, you know. They're very smart. So I'm not going to, like, you know, it's hard to really run them down. As far as pure wrestling, well, you know, they don't look to do it, you know. That's not their game, you know. But there's some good matches on there. TNA, they try to do a lot. I think they should, you know, they'd be better off taking a deep breath once in a while. Some phenomenal talent there. A lot of them were born and bred with Ring of Honor, as we know. And, you know, they get in their own way, you know, by trying to do too much too fast and not letting anything, you know, sort of settle in. So, once again, you'll see some great stuff on there too, and, you know, you'll see some nonsense. We try to not have any nonsense, you know, or just when it happens, just a little bit. That's my analysis on the two companies.
You mentioned all the great TNA stars that were born and bred within ROH. Is there a feeling within you right now that you sort of wish that the success of your promotion was happening 2 years ago, where you can keep guys like Samoa Joe and you know, CM Punk, and the list goes on and on, and then seeing them move on to a promotion like TNA, and for the most part, you know, to be honest, sort of drop the ball with a lot of these characters that are just hand served to them. You know, how frustrating is it for you to see guys that you built up? The name of the site is Jerry Park, and the Montreal Expos are very familiar with that, with building up talent and seeing them find success elsewhere. Is that at all frustrating for you?
Well, some, it is, you know, but it's the nature of the wrestling business. Guys are going to come, guys are going to go. You know, we knew enough to put guys under contract when we started the pay-per-view venture, and we didn't want to get lose guys and, you know, not have them under contract. Yeah, of course. I mean, a guy like Samoa Joe, a guy like Homicide, CM Punk, Christopher Daniels, AJ Styles, you know. But it's like, with that in mind, as bad as it was to lose them, as well as the other guys that have come and gone through the years, Paul London, Spanky, alias Brian Kendricks, Jamie Noble, and there's probably many others that I'm just not bringing up. It's nice to see them have some success, and it was also a chance for the undercard guys and the guys that were yet to be developed come up, step up to the plate and, become names. And, guys like the Briscoes, guys like Roderick Strong, Austin Aries, Rocky Romero, Nigel, the whole list of the main ROH roster, everyone rose, these guys were good going back a few years ago, but everyone's just really been stepping up. And then there's newer talent, Davey Richards, Eric Stevens, Chris Hero with Larry Sweeney, and Claudio Castagnoli has been unbelievable. And so you lose some guys, it opens up spots, so it works both ways. So I'm not going to tell you I'm thrilled to lose Samoa Joe, but you just deal with it. And I think we've done the main thing is we've done a great job with what we have, and Gabe Sapolsky's been he has a very good eye for talent, and I'm really happy with our current roster despite the losses of these other guys.
From time to time, we'll see even big-name free agents make their way through ROH. I think of Matt Hardy showing up on a show.
Lance Storm.
And there's a few free agents out there now, one of which is Booker T. Any talk with ROH and Booker T?
Not a peep. Zero. Nothing yet. There's no major guys we've really had any discussions with at all. Can something happen tomorrow or tonight? Maybe, but right now, no.
We're talking with Kari Silken, the owner of Ring of Honor, and we just have him for a couple of more minutes. And we're a combat sports site, and we focus a lot on MMA. And we've always thought that pro wrestling should learn a little from MMA and try to go, the more real route, for lack of a better term. Is that something that you guys are aware of? Are you trying to give the fans more of a real battle between two men? And, sometimes you'll see big upsets, sort of like in MMA, and just more of an athletic competition than one.
Well, I think that's what you certainly get with Ring of Honor, no doubt about it. The level of action, the level of intensity, the hard-hitting style, the wrestling that goes on, the contact that goes on, is pretty damn real and very exciting. And an MMA fan who's not necessarily a pro wrestling fan would be very fascinated and compelled to watch us, if they haven't, Ariel, I got to throw a plug in, if someone's listening to us and they haven't seen our site, it's www.rohwrestling.com. There's free video on the site, lots of it, to get a sample of the Ring of Honor brand. And, you've seen our product. It's pretty damn, you got to be pretty damn tough to get in the Ring of Honor ring. And, I feel that that's why people are attracted to us.
Before we let you go, you mentioned the website, ROHwrestling.com, and your bread and butter are your great DVDs. If there's a new fan out there listening to our interview right now through JerryPark.com, give them a couple of DVDs that they should look out for to try to add to their library and really get a sense of what your product is all about.
There's so many. I'm gonna be stammering in my brain. Well, we got through the wonderful relationships we have with Noah, Pro Wrestling Noah of Tokyo, and Dragon Gate Company, also of Japan. We got to go to Japan this summer. And the Live in Tokyo DVD, which was July 13th at the Differ Ariake, is spectacular. The following night, we were in Osaka, live in Osaka. These are both great shows. They're loaded with the Ring of Honor stars, as well as a good mix of the stars of Dragon Gate and Noah. One of my favorites. I'm not going to remember the titles of these, but one of my favorites. Well, I don't remember the title of this. Is the Samoa Joe Kobashi DVD, which is a very special match to me. That was New York City back in 2005. It's a September 2005 release. And the releases this year also from Liverpool, which is an incredible match with Brian Danielson and Nigel McGuinness, which is just one of the absolute best matches ever, is definitely that one is a keep. We did a double header in Liverpool. That was back this past March. Those are and I'm also partial to any of our releases that are from New York City. I love that building in New York, and I just feel that the New York building, and you've been there, the Manhattan Center, is probably one of the greatest places in the world to see pro wrestling, and the atmosphere carries over on DVD. Now, you could also, you got me on a roll here now, Respect is Earned DVD, which is actually our first pay-per-view, but it's also the rest of the card. That was May 12, 2007. That's available now. And if you want to see our current roster, that's a good place to start, as well as the last pay-per-view, our Driven, which was taped for the most part June 23rd in Chicago. I don't want to give them too many things. As far as our recent releases, we just released Manhattan Mayhem, which is the August 25th New York City show, where Morishima defended the belt against Brian Danielson and the Briscoes. And see, I didn't even mention Kevin Steen and El Generico when I was talking about the guys that have sort of come from the middle of the pack and burst out. These guys are incredible. And, a couple of years ago, they were just opening match or mid-card guys. So there's plenty for people to see. Go to ROHWrestling.com. Check us out on your local provider, whether it be the Dish Network or we're on every local cable company, no matter where you are, or on TV in Canada, on the Fight Network. And hopefully we'll be on cable TV sometime next year, maybe, hopefully. But, check us out. And, Ariel, I want to thank you. I really appreciate speaking to you. We do a lot of these interviews, and it's nice to speak to a guy that has a really good knowledge, and it was a pleasure.
Thanks so much, Kerry. Best of luck to you, and a lot of shows coming up. Let's give them the date one more time. November, we've another pay-per-view. There's a double shot going down in
We have
December.
A double shot in Dayton. We're in Dayton, Ohio, one of our favorite spots. We've been doing it for years. November 30th in Dayton at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds. Following night, December 1st, we are in Chicago at our home, the Chicago Frontier Fieldhouse in Chicago Ridge. Great fans there. Always a great show. And then we're back, double header, pay-per-view taping, as well as our end-of-the-year final battle on December 29th at 7:30 at the Manhattan Center, and then a rare matinee December 30th at 5 o'clock at the Manhattan Center. And So hopefully you'll be there at that show.
Needless to say, lots of ROH action on the horizon. And let me be fully honest, and I'm not just saying this because I have Kari Silken on the line. If you're a fan that is a little disillusioned with the world of wrestling, TNA, WWE, you definitely are doing yourself a disservice if you're not checking out ROH. Kari, thanks so much for joining us. And anytime you want to drop any big exclusives on us here at JerryPark.com, you have a home with us. Thanks
a lot.
Well,
you have Mike's number, and... I just get in touch with him, and thanks again.